Sam, I spoke to you. We really felt, that there's a need at the moment, especially from yesterday, that we want to start this ministry to heal the brokenhearted. Now, we've printed some T-shirts this week. So if you want to get some, you can just order them from Darren at the back there. We will minister to you afterwards. I thought I'll have to use my moment just to get it. Right. And that's it. So now we'll have to pray and get him back here. But no, thanks. That was my moment. And now let's carry on with the service. All right. Let's just bow our heads and just going to pray and ask the Lord just to bless the word this morning. Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord, with an expectation, Lord. Not an expectation to listen to man, not an expectation to sing a song, but Father, to meet with you this morning. So Father, I thank you for every heart that is prepared. I thank you that you know every heart, the condition of every heart this morning. Lord, you know every place, Lord. You know where we come from, Lord. Lord, your word says that you predestined us, Lord. And Father, this morning, we know that this is such a time this morning that you want to talk to us. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, that you will just come and illuminate your word this morning. As we spend time in your word, that you will just come. Holy Spirit, that you will hound down every one of us this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you've got a word in season for every one of us, including myself. Father, I know that you spoke to me during this week, Lord. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you will help us, Lord, to move into this next level. Lord, you've called us to great things. But Father, we know with that comes responsibility, Lord. And Father, we don't always know how to figure it out, and we don't know what is coming next. But Father, we know we've got you, and that is sufficient this morning for us. So we thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. And I promise you, I won't talk about the boobles again. Right. If you've got your Bibles here this morning, I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 15. You'll see I've got a very strange title on here. But bear with me, I'll get there. You probably don't understand why is the son to be saved. But like Tew said, with our eyes fixed upon the 3rd of July, and not just upon the 3rd, today as well. Bear in mind, God is working here today as well. But I believe that God is preparing our hearts for the harvest. And he's been doing this over months and weeks. And when you talk to the people, you can see there's something coming. Okay, I thought there's something wrong at the back. No, it's fine. So, Paul was writing in 2 Corinthians 12. He says, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved." And then we jump to, or turn to Romans 12 verse 1. Well-known scripture. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Notice reasonable service. It is possible to be saved, yet to commit the great sin. A few weeks ago, about a month ago, we were still in Cape Town, and we went down to Johannesburg we flew down to Johannesburg and drove from there to the Free State where my wife's grandma was turning 90, so we had this big party. But on the way from Johannesburg, we were driving on the, N whatever. I'm a Namibian, so I don't know all these roads. But anyway, we were driving on the highway. Let's stick to that. And as we were driving, we were passing all these old Mercedes cars. Older ones, newer ones. It was quite a lot of them. I guess about 20 to 30 of them. Then I soon realized this is an outing for the guys, with their old cars, And it was really impressive to see all these old cars. I think the Americans call it vintage cars. All these old type. I don't know if we call it in the movie. I'll just call it an old car. And that's straightforward, easy. Carlsberg English. Okay. Do you know where I come from? But the amazing thing about this all is that these people that have this hobby of restoring these cars will take so much time and effort to restore that car to its original value or the way it looked like. They will polish that leather seats and make sure they might get some new leather. They will polish the lights. They will polish the car. And then you would think after they've invested so much money into that car that they will drive it every day. No, they take that car, then they park it in the garage. and then they will drive it, mostly on Sundays. And I've seen it in the UK as well. They will come out, and it's not just any Sunday. It's only a sunny Sunday. They will take the car out there, you know. They will drive the car, and then they will park it in a parking lot. And then all will start chatting and bragging about my car, how old is mine, my leather seats. But not any day. You know, it just reminded me of the picture. And when I'm talking about the church this morning, please don't see that I'm talking about us. I'm talking in general about the church, you know. That we so often see the same picture in church. You know, we get saved, and then we park the car in the garage. And we only come out on Sundays, but sunny Sundays. And the day when it suits me, I only reach out when, you know, when I feel like it. I only talk, oh, brother or sister. I only reach out to those when I'm feeling like it. You know, we know the talk, the Christian talk. We know what to say, you know, coming to church. Oh, brother, how are you? God is good. By the way, I didn't ask you if God is good. I asked you, how are you? You know, all these kinds of things. And we go through the lingo. But sometimes the Lord wants to steer us in a direction. And we like these old cars that cannot start. Like mine last week. I left the lights on with the fog. And then I had the Norbert to jumpstart me. And sometimes we need that jumpstart just to get us going into a direction, you know. And it's same with the coin collectors, they say. Or stamp collectors. They put them, they take all these coins and they put them in the binders, you know, and then they will brag. Us pastors will, you know, take the people, put them in a denomination, and then we will brag about how many people we've got. But did you know that the most expensive thing on earth is not a diamond, it's not uranium, okay? It's not gold, it is a stamp. The reason why I'm saying this, the stamp is called the Thresh-Killing Yellow Stamp. It was printed in 1855 in Sweden in the wrong color, kind of yellow color. Some would call it stain. But the main thing about a stamp is to ensure that its message is delivered. That stamp is worth $7.4 million. Now you're asking maybe why is it the most expensive thing? This is it. This stamp weighs only 0.03 grams. So if you work it out, 33 of those stamps, you need 33 of them to make 1 gram, which would be worth $246 million. The average person weighs 120. Now, not here. I guess that's been taken with China in consideration, yeah? Because I don't know. I think a lot of us aim for that. We'll never. Because I figured it out because I got these stats from the internet. So I thought, how is it possible? 120 pounds. My mass is roughly about 60 kilos. Yeah, so there must be Chinese people. I'm bear in mind they're the majority. So let's stick to that. So if you take the average person, use that value to convert it. I just want to make a point here this morning. That would make a person worth $13,425,270,000. Now consider what David was writing. He said, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you've made him a little lower than the angels, and you've crowned him with glory and honor." Psalm 8, verse 5 and 6. It is time that we open our eyes and look at people the way God look at them. We're looking at this stupid stamp, if I can call it. But yet, you and me, sitting here this morning, is of much more worth to God. And when we lock into that and look at the potential, and you see, we see the sin. We look at the guy that's smoking. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying, we're looking at all the wrong stuff. God looks past that. God looks at the potential that is behind that. And we need to get to that place in church, between our friends, between our colleagues. We look past those things that we so often struggle to identify with people. Why do I need to be spent this morning? Paul said, I need to be spent for your sakes. Who's got a money note here this morning? I shouldn't ask that after this, after offering, but let's see, we didn't put in. No. I'll just get the wallet. Thanks. I can pick which one I want. This is good. I've got the 100 note here. Thank you, Jessica. But the thing is, we get these notes And then you've heard about the gift vouchers that you can get at Woolies, Mr. Price, wherever. But the problem is, the problem we have in church is people get saved, they come into the door, and then we try and take them from from notes to making them gift vouchers, Christian gift vouchers. Because you would know a Woolworths gift voucher, not nowadays anymore, but with all of them linked up, you can only spend them at that particular shop, nowhere else. If you want to take that gift voucher and try to buy a burger, it's not going to work. But that's what we're doing. We become so unfamiliarized with the world out there that we like Christian gift vouchers that can only be used here in church on Sunday for the offering most of the time. And to say, hello, brother, how are you? Sister, I'm good. You know, God is good. But we should become or get back to that place where we are a note again, where we are legal tender for anything, where we can identify with those outside there that really need God. And not just a gift voucher. If you want to be used in church, gift vouchers is not good enough. We need the notes. Literally and what's the other one? Figuratively. Please take note of that. Thanks. Thank you, Jessica. Notice what Jesus was saying in Matthew 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And then John 4 verse 35 says, do not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Now, you know the story about the Samaritan woman in John 4. Jesus is sitting there, woman is coming to the well. Jesus is crossing all the religious barriers and whatever of that time, reaching out to this woman, ministering to the woman, and eventually she understands that he's the Messiah. And then she runs back to the city. She tells the people, listen, come see the man. Now notice she already had 5. So everybody's coming out. I can just see the picture. We want to see number 6. You know, and the thing is, most commentaries say that the Samaritans wore white clothes. So now get this in your mind. They're coming out of this town with their white clothes. Now the disciples just come out of the town. They've just been to the town. And all they brought Jesus is a little happy meal, a burger from Barrels. And Jesus said to them, open your eyes. Look at the fields. They're all white. They're here in front of you. It is possible to be so, I don't want to use the word religious, but bear in mind that these disciples were hanging around Jesus all the time. But yet Jesus had to say to them, look around. Look at the possibilities. Look at the field. The field is ready. We are not told to add to the scripture, but I want to say to you this morning, we're living in the time of Joel 2 verse 28, that God says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. We will not just see an all white harvest. We're seeing an all brown harvest. We're seeing an all black harvest. We're living in those days, and I'm looking at our church, and I'm thankful to God to be part of this time where we're living in an all flesh church, where God is moving between people, and we're sometimes just a bit blind and disoriented. You see, this is the thing I want you to catch this morning. Jesus said, in order to have the treasure, you've got to buy the field. We come to church, we come to Christianity, and unfortunately, this is the problem with this humanistic way of preaching that has crept into the church. We tell people, you know, come to Jesus, then you will be healed, then your financial trouble will just suddenly dissolve. And we try and entice people with the blessings of Jesus. And I'm not saying that God is not able to do those things this morning. Yes, I believe it with all my heart. But the first and most important reason is to come and meet with Jesus. Not to come and look at his hands. And I know you as fathers, you don't want your children just to come and look at your hands and what is in your hands this morning. We come to meet Jesus. You know, and the thing is, it's like marriage. People are being told nowadays, no, you know, you can live together. You can have it all together, good sex, all of that. And all you're becoming is a treasure hunter. And the same in church. We're just coming for the prosperity side. We're just coming just to see, just to get that nice feeling. But Jesus said, in order to have the treasure, you've got to buy the field. You've got to take the whole lot. Sometimes it's not as easy. Sometimes we don't hear that part, that you have to go through the tribulation, that you have sometimes to take those things and it's busy maturing you. And we live out there, but we're blind to see the treasures that God has placed in front of us. The people that is hidden in the field. But we walk among the in the field and we're blind to see that there's potential in the field. That God has placed people there that is not yet in relationship with Him. But He wants me and you to walk into that field and to find those treasures. Church doesn't happen between these four walls. And this is what I like about this SOS training that's coming up. Guys, it's going to challenge us. It's going to challenge us to have church out there. Not just here on a Sunday. It's great. I love to be here. But, you know, real change comes outside. You know, we're here for an hour or two on a Sunday. But then the rest of the week we're out there. And this is where church is happening. At some stage we have to get behind that bless me mentality. What can I get of this? But it's about where God has placed you and me, our workplace, our friends, our family. We're about to make a difference there. The greatest anointing doesn't come or just operate here in church. I believe most often it's out there where God is using ordinary men and women like you and me. You don't have to be a saint, you know, like, and please forgive me if I offend the Catholics here this morning. You don't have to be a saint, become a saint first, you know, to be effective in the kingdom. No, God will use an ordinary man and woman like He did in the Bible. Ruth went into the field of Boaz, and we know when she got into the field, she met her soulmate. I'm preaching allegorically here this morning. We got to get in the field to find the treasures, to see those things. We got to put God first. The world tells you we chase after all these kinds of things. We're running after our breakthrough after breakthrough. But it's time that we just chase God. Then God will let all these other things chase you. Put that, just get that priority in order again. God says, put my kingdom first. Seek my kingdom first. And all these things will be added unto you. Now, my question, and this is where I want you just to take note this morning. How do I get spent? You know, when we hear the word of evangelism, or which you often talk about in church, the first picture that probably come in your mind, like in mind of us, you know, until a few years ago, is you see Reinhard Bonnke or this great televangelist and thousands of people, Benny Hinn or whoever, just preaching to people. And then you think, oh, I'm not like that, you know, I cannot do that. So I'm just there, you know, I'm not reaching really out because I cannot identify with that. That's not my personality. And it is true, you know, there is people out there with the anointing and the gifting like that. But I want to encourage you this morning that thankfully there's other ways to reach out to others. And I want to discuss quickly with you, I'm not going to spend a long time because I believe God wants to minister to people here this morning, 6 evangelism styles this morning. And I hope that you will identify with one of them this morning. And just so that you will know, you know, it's okay. It's okay if I'm not like Reinhard Bonnke, but I will be who I am and I'll be effective in the kingdom and use that too. So the first one is the direct style. Old Peter in Acts, you know, it's the day of Pentecost. Jesus has been crucified, gone back to heaven, and now Peter talks straight to the guy. He says, listen, guys, you crucified the Messiah, you're in trouble, you better repent. You know, he's not beating around the bush. He's straight talk to them. And so I believe a lot of us, you know, kind of identify with that. And this is often where we clash, you know, you get this guy that's so directly, and then you get the guy in the world that's not. And this is where we have to make sure, and this is what I have to say as well. You know, sometimes you might be fitting in this category. I don't want to place you into a box or what. And that's you have to do yourself this morning. Just identify with one or the other. But sometimes you might have to adapt to this style depending on the situation, depending on who you are ministering to. But sometimes you might have to. But most often you will be fitting within one box. But just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You know, I think my wife is that type of, she's not here, but I cannot approach her with a direct style, you know. And those, just to prove a point to you, you know, that some of us, that sister, that's that thing will not work on me if somebody comes and approach me and try and shove Christianity down my throat in such a way. But there's some of us out there, or people out there, that needs to hear it straight. Say, you're doing the wrong stuff. You better repent. You better come back to God. And these type of people, most often, you know, I mean, like Peter, you know, he was the kind of guy, you know, you mess around with him, he cut you off your ear, you know. So the characteristics of these people, they're confident, they're assertive, they know what they want to do, you know, in life. Then the second one is the intellectual style, Paul. We all know his letters, you know. In Acts 17 is a prime example. Paul talking to all these group of philosophers in Athens and Greece. And then he sees something which I like, you know, such a nice evangelism style. He looks at something familiar where he can start. He says, oh, this unknown God of you. Let me talk about this unknown God of you. Then he starts building a logical case all around it and explaining to them, you know, the way to Jesus. And maybe there's somebody here sitting this morning. You just identify more with this type of style, you know. You can sit around and spend a lot of time with people and just building the case. And just, you're patient, you know. You can just reason with people and eventually bring them to that place. The type of characteristics that these people have is inquisitive, they're analytical, you know. They think like that. Then the third one is the testimonial style. The blind man in John 9. He sits there, blind by birth all of his life. And then Jesus comes along the way. He's begging for food and Jesus says, oh, well, Jesus heals him. And before he had time to blink, the religious leaders are there. Hey, we healed you. What's happened here? And all he says is, listen here, I don't care who it is. I've been you. I was blind, but now I can see and that's it. That's all. Deal with it. You know, sometimes you don't know all the facts, but you know that you know what God has done in your life. And that testimony is so powerful. So don't underestimate that. And the characteristics of those people are, they are clear communicator, they're compelling storytellers. I guess there will be a few of us here. And they're good listeners. Then number four, the interpersonal style. I sometimes like this one as well. Matthew in Luke 5 verse 29. Matthew was a tax collector. You probably know that. Then he came to faith. And Matthew saw, yes, a lot of my friends that's also tax collectors. But I want to get them to know Jesus, so I'll throw a party. You know, I'll get them all together. And I've got this party at home. Then I'll invite Jesus. And then we'll just have a nice party and we'll mingle. And eventually, you know, but you're good at getting people together. You're good at, you know, socializing. You're good to just organize those parties and mix the right kind of people with the right, they rub off on each other before you can find somebody who's interested and hooked into that. You see, Matthew didn't have an ordinary party. He had a party with a purpose. So maybe while I'm talking here, God is saying to you, you got to plan that party, a party with purpose. So these kind of people, they go deeper with people and are able to utilize their trust so that they can get an influence over people eventually. And again, it's, you know, I think with most of these techniques, and I'm doing more teaching than preaching here this morning, but is that we have to be patient. The most important thing is we have to move with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we want to go too fast, and you have to slow down and say, Lord, maybe I should just wait a bit, you know. Or sometimes you need to say something. And the characteristics of these people are their relational warmth, they're conversational, and they're friendship-oriented. And I can surely, just from meeting all the people in here, I believe there's a lot of you here this morning that's got these skills. Then number five, the invitational style. The woman we were just talking about in John 4, the Samaritan woman. You know, Jesus, like I said, broke the customs of the day, and he spoke to the woman about and explaining who he is, the Messiah. She ran back. She called everybody, look, come and see. And as a result, she had the ability just to get people out of that place. As a result, many people became followers of Christ. You know, some of us can get people interested in things, you know, and sell something to somebody that it will never be used. But you can convince him so much, you know. Yeah. I remember when I was working in the bank still, you know, especially the ladies, you know, they would buy the sorry, but they would buy them a lot of nonsense, you know, with anybody that come in, I'll buy that, you know. And they were making this joke that say with everybody, you can sell anything to them, but they would say gullible, you know, they would just take any. But some of us has just got that skills, you know, just to convince somebody. Now, I want to challenge you this morning, use it for God, use it for the kingdom. If you can use that skill, use it for the kingdom this morning. You're able to fill your car with a lot of friends and take them to church or to a meeting that we have, then do it. They did a study, George Barna did a study in America, and they reckoned that about 25% of unchurched people would attend a church if somebody just take that chance to invite them or pick them up and bring them to church. That is 1 out of 4 people that will come to church only if somebody invites them. So I guess we've got some work to do. The last one is the serving style. Tabitha in Acts 9, or also known as Dorcas. This is a woman who served others by just doing good and helping the poor. She was working behind the scenes, and we have a lot of them in the church, you know. We all want to be the hands and the feet and the ears in the church, in the body, you know, because those are the visible parts. We like, you know, our place, you know. But a lot of times, and this is what we do not realize in the kingdom, is that those parts, like the heart, the liver, all those kinds of parts, that is not so visible so often. They fulfill such a vital role in the body. And without them fulfilling their role, the body is not functioning 100%. So maybe there's sitting some of you this morning that you don't like the limelight. You don't like just to do all the talk, but you know that you can serve a cup of coffee. You can take something to somebody out there in need. But that kind act can just turn that heart. And I know I've heard about testimonies in this congregation, how people just reached out to others and just being kind. And not trying to preach to them or giving them, just allowing the Lord just to work. But that act of kindness, that person cannot but help. But where is this coming from? Who is motivating this in this person? And the great thing about this all is that, you know, when she died, when this woman died, God sent Peter to go and pray for her. And he raised her out of the dead and put her back into service, you know. And we think that those people are not important. But if God would send Peter to raise up that woman so that she can get back into service, it does say a lot to me this morning. Those selfless acts of kindness is of vital importance. So I don't know where you find, but I trust this morning that you will identify with one of those styles and use it for the kingdom. And not just for the third or days to come, but really every day where you are, just to be content with where you are, who God created you. And just to serve within that. And know, Lord, if I'm a Dorcas this morning, if I'm that woman that can just serve a cup of coffee or tea, I will do that, but I'll do it for the kingdom. And I'll continue to pray and trust the Lord to see the harvest coming in. I'm ending this morning. During the Great Revolution of China, Shanghai was burning down as the communists were invading. The city was in flames as bombs were going off. A reporter from London looked out of his window and wrote these words, "Tonight, Shanghai is burning, and I'm dying too. No bomb is more mortal than, listen, death inside of me. Some men die by shrapnel. Some men go down in flames, but most men die inch by inch playing religious games. It is time we get in the field." I want you to close your eyes this morning. And I really trust that the Lord is going to minister here this morning. There's two groups of people I want to pray this morning. Very specifically, the Lord spoke to me. And the first invitation I'm going to make this morning is to, you know this morning, and I'm using a very direct style this morning, but I know if you know that you're not in right standing with God, your relationship with God is not what it's supposed to be, my friend, I want to give you the opportunity. This morning is the time to get back home, just to make that connection again. Say, "Lord, here's my life. Have it this morning. Do what you want to do with my life." You know for a fact that you are not at that place where you can confidently say that if I have to die today, I will know where I am. The sad thing about this all is that we grow up in church, we spend our lives in church, and then we are kind of blindfolded illusion. We think we are in a relationship, But just coming to church on a Sunday would never take you into a relationship. It's about meeting Jesus. So if you feel, and every eye is closed this morning, but nobody's looking around, I want to create a moment for the Holy Spirit just to minister to every person here this morning. It is so important. I want us to all work together here. You know, I'm not here to embarrass any person. I'm here to introduce you to Jesus. You know that there's not a certainty in your heart. You're uncertain whether you are in a relationship with God. I want you, just where you are, just to raise your hand. So pray with me. I'm just going to do a short prayer with you, introduce you to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, I can see that hand. Amen. I believe there's one more person that the Lord is talking to. You're not sure. God wants to extend that to you. Thank you. I can see that hand. You know, the great thing is that God will just wait for you because He loves you so much. He will stop this service and they will wait for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want those people that raise their hands just quickly to come to the front. And I'm just going to pray with you. And then we're going to just continue in ministry. You raised your hand this morning for that prayer that you need this morning. I want you just to come to the front and I'm just quickly going to pray with you. Be bold this morning. Say, Lord, I'm stepping out this morning. It's a big step for me this morning, but I'm doing it for you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Just to pray this prayer with me. Whether you pray it for the first time or pray it for the second time, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you are meeting with Jesus this morning. God is just setting everything in order again this morning. So Lord Jesus, pray after me this morning. Lord Jesus, I realize this morning that I'm a sinner and that I'm in need of you. So I repent of my ways and I turn to you, Lord Jesus. Save me this morning. Father, I thank you for all these people, these precious people this morning, Lord. Lord, thank you that you ordained them, Lord, to be here at such a time, Lord. Lord, I pray that your Spirit will just come and fill them right now, Lord. Fill them afresh, Lord. I pray, Lord, in these days that you will just come and visit them, Lord. That they will just experience something new. Lord, that you will introduce them, Lord, to more and more of you, Lord. That as they grow, Lord, in you, Lord, that the excitement will just stir up more and more inside of them, Lord. And Father, as we send them into the field this morning, Lord, we also pray for people around them, Lord, where they will slot in to help them, Lord. Because we all need people around us, Lord, just to help us in a way. Sometimes we don't know, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may take your seats. Now this is the second group of people, and I have to make it very clear this morning, while we still every eye closed, let's just stay for this moment. Keep our eyes upon what the Lord is doing here. I had to repent this week of not seeing the treasures in the field so often. You know, I'm very organized and can so easily fit into my way of doing things that I sometimes run past those treasures. And I had to say, Lord, I'm sorry. So often, you probably put that place or person along my place, and I just missed it. I was blind, Lord. I missed those opportunities. I looked at those people, and I didn't see the potential inside of that. And I had to repent. I say, Lord, before I'm bringing this message, I'll repent. And I know there's people sitting here this morning. You know that you had that opportunity sometimes, but you didn't do it. I pray that there will be a conviction this morning. Just a conviction where we're just going to lay that down this morning. Because this morning we call a new day. When we leave this church here this morning, we're going to go out here with motivation, knowing, fueled by the Holy Spirit. So if you know that you've slipped, I just want to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not going to call you to the front, but you know, if you are one of those that sometimes just miss those treasures that God has placed in the field, maybe you were just busy with your own world, or I don't know, for whatever reason it might be. If you know you are one of those people, like myself, you know, I want you just to stand, and we're just going to allow the Holy Spirit just to purge us for a moment. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mighty work this morning, Lord. So, Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord, just to repent of all the times that we missed it, Lord. Whether it was intentionally or unintentionally, Lord, we know, Lord, that as we lay those things at the cross this morning, Lord, that we will get opportunity again, Lord. So, Father, we just thank you this morning that we can repent of those things, but Lord, we don't have to crucify ourselves this morning, Lord. No, Lord Jesus, you did that, Lord, already on the cross. So there's no condemnation, Lord, for us here this morning. We can just stand here before you and say, Lord, we're sorry, we're asking for another chance, Lord, that you will, as we go out in this week, Lord, as we are between our friends, as we are between our family, Lord, that you would just again, Lord, open our eyes, Lord. Lord, that you will just empower us, Lord, just to see the ways how we can reach out to others, Lord. How we can identify with others. How we can love your people, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord, just to become a money note again, another gift voucher, Lord. That we'll be able to get into those darkest of dark places, Lord, without feeling, Lord, that we don't belong there. But because, Lord, we know that greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. And, Lord, we know that we're carrying the Spirit of you. So, Father, we just pray that you would just come for every person here this morning and empower us this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that wisdom will come, that your words will be put in every mouth this morning, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that we will be sensitive to your work. We will be sensitive not to run ahead, nor to stay behind, Lord, but just to be obedient. Open our ears, our hearts ready to receive. Amen. Let me take your seats. I don't know, we were praying beforehand, and I don't know whether there's somebody with the name of Esther here, but I just got the name Esther here. Now, maybe that means to somebody, something to somebody. We were praying beforehand, so if you are here, just please come talk to me afterwards. I don't know why, but I just got the name, and I just want, well, put it out there. Right, I'm done. I've shared. I really want to ask you guys, as you are moving out the back there, before we leave, just as well, while we're ministering here on our Sundays, I just want to ask you, and even if you now still feel it.